This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss of Follow the Money will join us. We will go over a lot. NFL, college football, just a loaded Saturday slate. Just a great sports weekend. We'll talk to Mitch in a second. I got some baseball to get to, but we'll start with the NFL. And you don't usually go back to Monday night on these Wednesday shows, but Monday was such a continuation of the weekend with just, man, sloppy play, turnovers, the Atlanta-Vegas game, which Atlanta almost blew. And if they blew that, oh my goodness, I wouldn't even know what to say. That was such a poorly played game, poor coaching decisions. Cousins was awful. They have a major, major issue. They're going to have to play Penix at some point. I don't know what they're waiting for. But, I mean, you go back to Sunday with the Bengals-Titans and the 10 turnovers, the Broncos gaining 190 yards but winning the game comfortably. I mean, there was just so much ugly, ugly play. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason for it. But kind of continuing into Monday night, as I mentioned, with the Falcons-Raiders game in Minnesota-Chicago was just a flag fest. I mean, it was penalty after penalty after penalty. And Minnesota's becoming a story now, and I think both one seeds are a story where Minnesota has kind of been off on the side, cute little story, but we all kind of assumed Detroit was going to be the one. And, you know, I've had people on, and I asked them, hey, if anyone disrupts a Lions-Eagles NFC title game, who's it going to be? Pretty much everyone has said Green Bay. Minnesota's just not getting the respect. Some of it I understand with Darnold. They hadn't looked great the past couple of weeks, but they are now three wins away from not only winning the division, they are three wins away from being the one seed. And if you look at the schedule, none of the three games are easy. At Seattle, which might be Howell, which is a break, but they're 3.5-point favorites. And Howell against that Flores blitz. Again, never an easy place to play, but that's a game Minnesota. They're favored for a reason. They are a 2-point favorite against Green Bay the week after. That game is in Minnesota. And if they win those two, they head to Detroit. And this could also be the final game of the season, that Sunday night game they flex into, where you're playing for everything. The winner gets the one seed. Now, Detroit's got some tough games coming up, and Detroit on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, there's just the injuries continue to stockpile. David Montgomery, and I don't know if people saw this, Montgomery, his over-under rushing prop at some places was 775.5, and he had 775, and he has lost for the year, I think, torn MCL, so he is done. That is about as tough a beat as you can get. So Minnesota's got a real chance there, plus 440 at FanDuel. DraftKings doesn't have the odds for the one seed up. I remember talking about them a couple weeks ago when they were 11-1. And look, they've got their work cut out for them. None of these three are easy. They're probably going to have to win all three. I don't think they can, you know, drop one of these and still get the one. But I think it's start time we start paying attention to Minnesota here as a legitimate one seed candidate. I mean, they turn you over on defense. They've got a good running game. They've got two outstanding receivers. Darnold, he was under a lot of pressure on Monday night, but Darnold, you know, does what he needs to do. He can run a little bit. He's got the arm. He looks like a completely different quarterback. And, man, you're going to head into the offseason with quite the conundrum because you got McCarthy sitting there coming off the knee surgeries, the rookie deal. Darnold has played great, but do you want to pay him? That is not an easy decision. I have no idea what they're going to do in terms of Darnold, because there's going to be a market for him. When you look at all these teams that need quarterbacks, the Giants, and I don't know that the Jets would go down that road again, but the Raiders, I mean, it's not a great draft class in terms of college, and Darnold has played like a legit, he's going to get MVP votes. He's been that good. So Minnesota with a real, real chance here to get the one, get the bye. Obviously, the bye is so much more important even now. You know, the one is so much more important now because it's the only bye, and you get the week off, wild card weekend, where you can't lose. You get to lick your wounds, and then you are two home wins away from being in the Super Bowl. So long way to go, but Minnesota really has a chance here to put themselves in the one. And on the AFC side, we all kind of assumed it was going to be Kansas City as the one, because even though they lost to Buffalo, there's the discrepancy in losses. Buffalo lost their third game last week to the Rams, but now this Mahomes ankle watch throws a real curveball into the mix, because that line has gone back and forth. Chiefs favored by 2.5, Chiefs 2.5-point underdogs. It's basically just one group thinking, hey, I think he's going to play. I'm betting the Chiefs. Another group saying, hey, I don't think he's going to play it. Who knows what information is correct? Kansas City's probably not going to tip their hand too much. And we've been through this before with Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes, and they've actually won games and pieced together games. It was the playoffs in 2020. He got hurt with the concussion. I think it was Matt Moore who came in, or was it Henny who came in and got the first down to ice the game. Henny came in for Mahomes in the playoff game 2 years ago against Jacksonville. Then Mahomes was able to piece it together and play against Cincinnati and then get 2 weeks of rest where they beat Philly. So Mahomes has been through this before, and it's It's a fascinating scenario. Do you take your rest on the front end here and say, hey, let's play Wentz. Let's sit Mahomes. We can really sit him for the regular season and hope somehow we can win two out of three. We're home against the Texans. We're at Pittsburgh, which is a tough game. And then we're at Denver. But Denver, that final game might be tricky in terms of Denver might have the chance to, depending on who's aligned where, kind of dictate who they play. Hey, if we beat the Chiefs in week 18, that puts us as the six and the Steelers as the three, and then we get to play the Steelers. Or if we beat the Chiefs, that knocks them to the two and that puts us here. So you get the idea. They might have a chance, depending on how everything breaks, to have some say in terms of like who they play in round one. Do we want the Chiefs to get the bye? Do we want to dictate our matchup? Is there, I'm sure if you gave them True Serum, they'd never admit it. If you gave them True Serum of all these teams, they'd rather play the Steelers, just because, hey, you're not going to want to play Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You're not going to want to play Allen. You're not going to want to play Mahomes and the Chiefs, unless Mahomes is that banged up, and then you can try to beat them and knock them back into the two seed. And again, there's a lot of games still to be played, but you get the idea where Denver could have a say here in manipulating who they play week 18. That game is in Denver. So fascinating. It really is fascinating. But Minnesota and Buffalo both being the ones, not impossible. Buffalo right now is plus 160 to be the one in the AFC. Kansas City's minus 200. You can get like 50 to one on Pittsburgh if you think Pittsburgh's going to win out here and kind of run the table. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really going to be a lot of fun with all of these moving pieces. The Thursday night game's pretty good. Chargers laying, you still get the three. The threes are starting to disappear. I'm not surprised the threes are disappearing here. Both teams looked awful on Sunday, but Herbert's limping around. They were awful defensively Sunday against the Buccaneers. The Chargers were. So, someone winning this game, 21-20 or something, 20-19, I think 3 points is very valuable. And the Chargers, even though they're limping to the finish line, good thing they beat Atlanta, because if they hadn't beaten Atlanta a couple weeks ago in the kind of fluky game, they would have these teams breathing down their neck. But the Colts lost last week. The Dolphins lost last week. They have the tiebreaker, the Chargers do, with Miami. So that's not going to be an issue. So as long as you win, they have the tiebreaker with Cincinnati, not Miami. As long as the Chargers can win one game, and you figure they're going to win one game here, they're home versus the Broncos, then they get the Patriots and the god-awful, god-forsaken Raiders. So they're going to get one. They're going to get into the playoffs, but not sure how much of a threat they're going to be. I mean, ideally, you like to clinch where week 17, week 18, you can rest some guys and kind of use that as a bye if you're the Chargers. So a lot going on. It's a lot of fun. I almost think on Saturday, man, I always love these Saturday NFL games. I almost think putting the college games there. Again, this is first world problems. It's almost like the waiter bringing all the food at once, your appetizers, your entrees, the salads. It's all just thrown on the table at once, where you got three college games and two NFL games on the same day. The NFL games, they're not allowed to like breathe. You can't really take it all in and enjoy. And I wish it was spread out a little bit more, but hey, it's a good problem to have. I do wish it was a little more balanced throughout the week, the weekend. I have not done much on the bowl games. Maybe the Friday show will spend some time on the bowl games. It's just so hard. Who's playing? Who's not? This really started last year. And I remember it was right around when we started doing this podcast last year. I was, hey, when in doubt, just take the underdog. Maybe take the underdog on the money line. And the underdogs did really, really well. So I would encourage that advice too, where, hey, these games that are 5-6 point lines, who knows who's playing? Who knows who cares? Just take the plus 180, take the plus 200 on the money line. And that's probably the way to go. Very few of these games do I have any interest in, in laying points. And before we get to Mitch, just quickly, the baseball, Cody Bellinger is now a Yankee. He gets traded for Cody Poteet in cash. He gets, it's a complete salary dump. I will just say, nice player, gives him some left-handed, versatility, can play the outfield, can play first base in that stadium. He'll do well. I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked how excited Yankee fans were. I look at my phone. Oh my goodness, we got Cody Bellinger. If you look at the on-base percentages the last few years, I get the sense Yankee fans, the Soto was like a breakup. I've made that comparison where, Soto dumped you and, you're kind of mourning that breakup. You're feeling the pain of that loss and you just want somebody. You just want the rebound relationship. And Bellinger feels like the rebound relationship. I think they're just so happy to have somebody. Oh my goodness, now we're in good shape again. I mean, look at, he had a great year in 2017, and then he was awesome in 2019. Won an MVP, made two All-Star teams. That's a long time ago, since 2019. Look at his on-base percentages. 2021, 240, then 265, then a bounce-back year, 356, then a 325 on-base percentage. He's going to hit your 18, 25 homers. Maybe that gets enhanced in Yankee Stadium. Hitting behind Judge. Probably put him between Stanton and Judge. But, man, going from Juan Soto, and I know the Yankee fan is bitter, and I know the Yankee fan, you don't want us anyway, it was too much money. going from Juan Soto to Cody Bellinger is like going from filet mignon to a fast food burger. This is not the same. And I know nothing, if you're one of these, hey, I want Soto back, and why wouldn't you? Nothing's going to make you happy. Maybe Kyle Tucker of the Astros would have gotten you like 75% there, 80% there. So if you're one of these people like me, hey, nobody's Soto, I'm not going to be happy no matter what. There's some truth to that. But I was just shocked by the reaction, shocked by the excitement of the Yankee fan over the Bellinger move. But look, they add Devin Williams, the big-time closer from Milwaukee. He's outstanding. He's one of the best closers, if not the best closer in baseball. There is a little concern. Hey, he gave up that home run versus Alonso in the Mets in the wild card round. And anytime you give up a devastating homer like that, it's like a kicker missing a big kick in football. You wonder if there's – it's such a psychological position. You wonder if there's a psychological – holdover ramifications from, hey, that's going to be in his head from now on. It damages ego. I know if you go back and look at some of the people that break down the video, he was clearly tipping pitches, and that's part of it. And maybe it's an easy fix, and maybe he's fine. My guess would be he's fine and he's dominant. And if Weaver's as good as he was last year, you put Weaver and Williams, you can be a different team, a good team. Fried and Cole at the top. It's not going to be the same lineup. There's just no replacing Soto. And Judge and Soto were so much fun to watch. And, you know, at some point, if you're someone like me, you're just going to have to get over the fact that Soto is on the other side of town. He's not on the Yankees anymore. Whether it was, you know, security was rude to his family or the suite, I've lost interest in why or how. All I know is he's on the Mets, so I don't really care, you know, what happened. I know the Yankees made an offer, a respectable offer, but it was an offer that was not good enough to get it done. But the Yankees are going to have a good team. Yankees... again, they're going to have there's going to be a lot of pressure on Judge to stay healthy, because if he doesn't, and even if he does, there might be some holes in the lineup, especially against big time pitching. But if everything goes right, if everything's healthy, 90 something win team, 92, 93 wins. The division's going to be better with Crochet in Boston. Baltimore's still getting better with all their prospects. I don't know what Toronto is. Toronto's a mess. Tampa always puts a solid product on the field. They'll get McClanahan back. So Yankees are going to be in the mix. The Astros are not this super team anymore. The AL Central, you're not scared of anyone there. So Yankees are going to be in the mix. Yankees, it would be a horrible year if they weren't, you know, in the playoffs in some form or fashion with all the extra teams that make it now. But are they like an A1 World Series contender, which they were this past year? And I don't care what people say. I know they lost the World Series in 5 games. They could have easily beaten the Dodgers. Game 1 got away. Game 5 got away in just epic proportion. They could have easily won that World Series, but they didn't. I don't know. I think it's going to take a lot to go right for them to get back. So we're still waiting on some of these other free agents, Corbin Burns, Sasaki. We'll see where Alonso lands. So we got that first wave where we got Soto, and then the ripple effect of Fried after that, and then the Devin Williams trade, and now Bellinger. Again, I mean, if you think he's that great, the Cubs just gave him away. Cubs said, you know what? We don't want him on our team anymore. Cody Poteet, who's basically a quadruple A pitcher. He did a nice job in some filling time for the Yankees, but he's not a big league rotation piece. He's kind of a long man in the bullpen, kind of a 6-7 starter, and some cash. This was just, hey, we're paying this guy a lot of money. We don't want him on the team anymore. So again, I'm very, very surprised with the excitement level of the Yankee fan who's just looking for something to hold on to after Soto left. So I'll be rooting for him. I hope he's wrong. I hope we're sitting here in June, July, August, and people are, you know, tweeting at me, texting me, saying, hey, you're an idiot. Bellinger's going to hit 40 home runs. It was a great move. It was a stroke of genius. But that's not usually the case with the Yankees when they make these moves on the fringes and they try to, I use the term color outside the lines. I mean, think a couple summers ago when Soto was traded from Washington to the Padres, Yankees got Andrew Benintendi. Oh, big game player. He's going to be clutch. He stunk. Their trade deadlines that year, also Montas, and the guy last year, they got Mark Leiter. The Yankees are not good getting clever. The Yankees are not good, you know, finding value on the margins. The Yankees need these moves. They can't screw up. They need the Sotos. They need the absolute slam dunk home runs. Anytime they try to get cute, try to get clever, it doesn't seem to work out. And this guy just has the feel with, the low batting average, low on base, coming to New York, presses a little bit, strikes out, getting booed in April. I am not high on this move. I get it. And there weren't a lot of other great options. I would have included Luis Gil in the Kyle Tucker trade because I think Tucker's just a much better player than Bellinger, but it's something. Hopefully they add a bat. Hopefully they add a Christian Walker, I guess a Santander from the Orioles. So they still need another bat. Just a one-for-one swap of Bellinger for Soto is just not going to be enough offense. Not enough left-handed power, not enough on base. It's just too much pressure on Judge. And, you know, we'll see if Stanton can continue that postseason into this year, but it's just there's some holes there. You know, Torres isn't going to be back. You're going to have Chisholm. I don't know. It's not a big-time offense at the moment. But that's the baseball, the NFL. Let's talk some college. Let's talk a little more NFL with Mitch Moss. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should Bet More podcast. You can catch him weekdays 4 to 7 Eastern on Follow the Money, where he is the co-host, Mitch Moss. Mitch, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on. I think this is the first time since you've switched time slots. How has your life changed? Is it better? Are you enjoying the new time slot here? And how's it going?
Believe it or not, it's been coming up on 4 months. It'll be 4 months end of the year. I'm not used to it yet. So, you know, I used to wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, and then that was that. Go to bed about, you know, after the games are over with, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. For like 7 years, and now that we're in the afternoons, my body is not adjusted, so still trying to work on that. I'm up every day still, like around, you who knows what time it is, but so hopefully we can get that down sometime soon.
Well, this is
also Will, you can relate to this. You throw a newborn baby into the mix. That helps things.
Yes, that's quite the parlay there of the time adjustment. Yeah. The baby, that is a lot. We got a lot of games, man. And you look at this Saturday slate, 5 games, 3 college, 2 NFL. First off, before we get to the actual games, I'll just ask you this. Do you like the way this is presented? This is stacked all on one day. It almost reminds me of the waiter bringing the appetizers and the entrees and just throwing all the food on the table at once. It's awesome that we have all this. And I guess I'll need to see it before I make my judgment. But do you wish it was a little more spread out here on Saturday?
I wish it was too, right? I mean, we have to go through this the entire season. Regular season on Saturdays and Sundays, where you have just 100 games going at the same exact time. And then when you make it to these very important, well, you know, bowl games, we can debate that all day long if they're important or not. But you get here, and it'd be nice to kind of like have them isolated a little bit more so you can concentrate rather than having, you know, you might have to have a multi-TV setup now just to take in as much as you possibly can. And I also hate the idea that we have, you know, the NFL just forcing these games so they can get on Christmas Day, and then we have them on Saturday too, going against college football. I wish the college games were on an island.
Yep, and look, it's first world problems. This is going to be awesome, but yeah. I do wish, like, I always love the Saturday NFL games, and I like that being its own thing. I wish you could have just spread out the college more, but again, it's a good problem to have. Before we get to some of these games, who do you think gets both one seeds in the NFL?
Not Detroit, and I'm saying that as a guy who's holding multiple. I'm so pessimistic now, and I'm just sick. What's going on with that team? KC will get it in the AFC. I'm confident that, by the way, Mahomes might play this week. Just, it's a pure lunacy. He doesn't have to play, but others have already commented on this. So, like, if he's going to go out there and enforce it, then I wouldn't be surprised by it. And I think it was Jeff Saturday today on ESPN who said, you're not going to hold him out because of precaution. Okay. You're a former player. I guess I'll take your word for it, but I think that's kind of silly. But I think Andy Reid can still win a game or so with Carson Wentz. And I probably have to lean Eagles right now.
If it were you, how would you play it with Mahomes? Would you? I mean, because there's kind of two ways to approach it. Hey, I'm just gonna rest him. I'm gonna rest him and hopefully get a chance to, to get the one with Wentz. If not, I'll have him rested for the playoffs. We still get a home game. Or do you try to sneak in the win or two and then get him his rest and then try to, you know, preserve the one?
I would sneak in. Like, okay, first of all, if he's good to go this weekend, then obviously play him, and I get it. But maybe you don't. And you hold him off for a couple of extra days, and then you play him on Christmas Day against Pittsburgh. And if you can come away with that win, then you're going to be good to go in theory for the one seed. And then, you know, you play it from there. But I guess, you know, with that 2-game lead, it's pretty comfy. However, you have to consider that the Bills do have the tiebreaker over them. So it's a very real thing here that the Bills are not going to lose another game in the regular season.
Who do you like to win the AFC North? Ravens, Steelers. Steelers about a -170 favorite. I think part of that baked in is the fact that they do get the game with Mahomes possibly hampered now.
Yeah, I know it. So before the games on Sunday, I like the Ravens. It was around +180 in that neighborhood, based on, you know, the thinking was the Steelers were really up against it with the schedule. Ravens getting back in revenge spot at home this week. A much more doable schedule, in my opinion, than Baltimore. But because of that Mahomes injury now and the unknown status with that, I don't think I'm going to force a bet here on Baltimore at +140.
So it sounds like you're kind of torn, maybe leaning towards Pittsburgh. You think that's the right number?
Right. I mean, because if Mahomes doesn't play, I think they can beat Houston with Wentz. Can they go to Pittsburgh and win with Wentz if Mahomes doesn't play? Right?
It's going
to
be tough.
Against that defense, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, and then you're relying on, first of all, the Ravens need to, you know, win the game against the Steelers on Saturday, beat the Texans, which is not a layup. I know the Texans haven't played great here, but and then you're hoping maybe since he jumps in and beats Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh the final week, which is possible. But I think the Ravens, I'm like you, I thought they were going to come back and win it. Now I'm not as sure. How about these actual games? We got Chargers, Broncos, Chargers laying about a field goal, last I looked, on Thursday, then the actual Saturday games themselves. Anything you bet, anything you're looking to bet?
So should we overreact to what we saw in Denver from a bad way on Sunday? Because Bo Nix was terrible. And that game, I can say this, I can't prove it. That game was, let's put it this way. It was a high probability Indy was going to win that game if Jonathan Taylor doesn't drop the ball at the goal line, sure. Right? He had three INTs at that time, Bo Nix did. They did absolutely nothing on offense. They had 190 yards of offense in the entire game, and they won by 18 points. I mean, that just, you make, you know, sense of that. But also, I think I'm a little bit more alarmed at what happened with the Chargers. 500-plus yards allowed defensively to Baker Mayfield, and I think Tampa Bay is a threat in the NFC, and I like Baker, and I like that offense quite a bit. But are we starting to see the Chargers fall apart here a little bit? And let's be honest here. They have 8 wins, so they're still comfortably in the playoff race. That team was very fortunate to win some of those games this year. They never should have defeated Atlanta on the road. And if they don't have that win, I don't know if they're a playoff team, and I don't know if they go over their win total. I'm leaning Denver in that game.
Yeah, me too. Any sort of points, there's no home field advantage for the Chargers. It seems like two pretty even teams, close games. So, I would agree with that. Do you think we see Penix for Atlanta at quarterback? That was ugly. We're taping this Tuesday. That was, that was not a thing of beauty on a Monday night. And if Atlanta ever blew that, that was just one of the all-time, gag jobs. That the coaching on both sides was ridiculous. But what are you thinking here with Atlanta?
Well, I mean, should they put in Michael Penix? Of course. I mean, watching Kirk Cousins again last night, how can he step foot on the field again? Well, he was so bad last night and he can't move again that what are they going to do? They're going to probably win a close game against the Giants if they start him. And even though the Giants are as bad as it gets right now, I don't see this team going to Washington and winning, and then their playoff hopes are probably dead. I think you have to, but I don't think the organization is going to do it. They have screwed this up from the very beginning. I mean, the fact that they took Michael Penix number 8 overall when you signed Kirk Cousins and then you played him in one preseason game, the team came out and said, we've seen enough, and they shut him down. My question would be is, have you seen enough of Kirk Cousins yet to play the guy? When you think you know what you have in Penix and you're in the middle of a playoff and division race here. So I don't have a lot of comments that the team is going to, although I think it's pretty close to 100% that they should put in Penix.
Yeah, and Tampa's looks to be in good shape to close out that division. All right, and last thing on NFL, any awards you think are worth a bet at this moment?
I do think Lamar might be live for Offensive Player of the Year because he's not going to win the MVP.
Are they going to give him another award after they gave him 2 MVPs? Barkley's had this great year. I feel like they're going to give it to Barkley.
Do you? Well, his numbers are going to be so good. Will people make a case for it? Because at the end of the day, he might have better numbers overall than Josh Allen. The other guy I think is live is Ja'Marr Chase. Because Barkley, he did come back into that game against Pittsburgh on Sunday. He was hurt there for a little bit, did not have a good game. Chase still had a nice game. If he wins the Triple Crown, which he is going to, and his numbers are just, he blows by the competition, laps the field, maybe Chase might be worth something. And I have no idea. If TJ Watt plays this week, I'm sure it's going to be brand name bias with him. It'll be a lazy job by the voters just to say, TJ Watt, Defensive Player of the Year, when you have a lot of other defenders at the same position with comparable numbers, if not better numbers than him. So I want to make the case for a bunch of dudes on that side of the ball. But I just, if he plays out, I think voters will probably say, yeah, TJ Watt's the best. We're going to give it to him.
All right. How about college? We got 4 games this weekend, starting Friday night, Indiana, Notre Dame. Who's the underdog with the best chance to win outright?
I am going to say, this is going to be a very common thought. To me, it's going to be Tennessee. Don't love the offense, but I think there's a chance where that defense can, absolutely neutralize the Ohio State offense, keep it close. This game has taken money to the under. Could be like points come at an absolute premium. Won't be surprised if it's 20-17 in that range, or maybe even a little bit lower than that. So in that kind of a situation, I think they can win it outright. I'm very curious about the Indiana-Notre Dame game. Very curious about that game. Special teams for Indiana, they were just completely atrocious against Ohio State. And then Ryan Day, for some reason, ran it up against them late to maybe, but they didn't do much in that game. Can they keep it close against Notre Dame and then become squeaky bum time in the second half for the Fighting Irish? That's what I'm curious about. But if it does snow, how much does that benefit Notre Dame from having just, bigger dudes, better running game, better defense overall? Could benefit them in that game. I think if it snows, I was going to call it College Station. Why am I blanking on where Penn State plays? Happy Valley,
yeah.
If it snows in Happy Valley, I think that's a massive benefit for the home team there.
Yeah, I tend to lean towards the four dogs just because, I mean, we've talked about it all year. There's no great team. There's parity. Sure. SMU is the dog I worry about the most, but I'm hoping for good games. I think we'll get good games. And I'm so excited for that Notre Dame game, a Friday night in South Bend, maybe some snow, a little weather. There's just, you know, it's Christmas time. That's going to be just that's to me, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. That's going to be
That game probably could be the nuts. I'll give you one. Is this going to, this podcast coming out today?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. All right. Scratch it. I was going to give you a two-team parlay for tonight.
All right. Any other bowls? I feel like the bowls have gotten cannibalized a little bit. I was, you know, wake up Monday. Usually, you know, when you're this close to Christmas, you're this close to, you know, the season ending or this far past the season ending. We've gotten a couple bowls. We got that one random one Saturday night and nothing since. Anything on the other bowls Wednesday and after?
Well, are these kids going to play for Colorado? They're favored by 3 over BYU.
Your guess is as good as mine. But what's play right? mean? Do they play a half, a game, a quarter? Like, we don't know.
Getting that far, you know, I was part of the, you know, I heard Brad Powers talk about this and he made a lot of sense. I'm just a little bit dejected that Marshall bailed on the bowl game against Army because I had 14 in pocket with Army and I thought he brought up a good point, even though they lost to Navy this past weekend with that situation going on. You know, nobody was going to be able to play. The coach left. I think Army was going to run up. I'll be honest, these games, they're such an unknown to me. I'm concentrating much more on the playoff games than anything else.
Yep, I'm totally with you. This has definitely definitely hurt bowl season. Last one, who wins it all, college football? And is there any value in terms of the futures?
Probably not at this point. Penn State's path, obviously been talked about to death. It's pretty good. I bet Notre Dame 12-1 before the committee announced the rankings. If Notre Dame can get by Indiana, we all know right now that point spread out in the quarterfinals, if they get the backup quarterback there for Georgia, I think Notre Dame can absolutely win that game. So they're live. I think they're live to win the whole thing.
Mitch, appreciate a few minutes. Hopefully you get some sleep when you get a chance. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Thanks, Will. Afternoons, 4 o'clock Eastern. You can watch us on the new VSiN Watch app. That's what it's called on your phone, VSiN Watch app. And on Instagram, Mitch Moss. Ooh. How about that?
Mitch, appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thanks to Mitch Moss. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Friday. Talk to you then.